Chapter 6.
Leia had every intention of discussing the group from Daxam 4 with Ransom Casterfo as they all walked back to the Mirrorbright. While she didn't like Casterfo very much, he wasn't the type to have connections to the underworld. No doubt he had shoved his way into this mission in an attempt to raise his profile. Vain as this desire might be, it meant he genuinely wanted to find something worthy of reporting to the Senate. Besides, strong as her doubts were, she knew they were based mostly on her, call it intuition. Bouncing ideas off someone else would be valuable, even if it was Casterfo. But she never got the words out of her mouth. Casterfo never gave her the chance.
"I suppose you're pleased with yourself," he said as they left the casino complex to return to the windy tunnels that led back to their ship.
The caverns arched high overhead, dark and foreboding.
"You made a spectacle completely unbecoming to the dignity of the Senate."
"Do you hear yourself?" Leia shot back. "How is playing cards in a casino a spectacle?"
"It is when you insist upon buying intoxicants for hundreds of people."
"Would you rather I walked off with my new fortune?" "They would have hated that. Buying drinks for people makes them like us. When people like us, they're more likely to cooperate and tell us the things we need to know. Working with people to get them to cooperate is what we call politics." Casterfo gave her a withering look.
"Your brand of politics, perhaps. I prefer appealing to my constituents' reason."
Was this guy born already 80 years old? Leia managed to resist saying as much out loud. "I guess you like to keep yourself tidy. You don't understand what it means to get your hands dirty doing what needs to be done. We learned that in the Rebellion."
"Did you spend the entire Rebellion in the company of smugglers and lowlifes?"
He probably meant this to be a cutting remark. Instead, Leia found herself thinking of the first time she'd really seen Han's face, in a garbage compactor aboard the Death Star, moments before he fired his blaster at the magnetically sealed walls and nearly killed them all. Leia couldn't help smiling. "Almost, Senator Casterfo. In fact, I wound up married to one." Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Joff Seastriker and Cor Sela exchange glances. This was the display unworthy of the Senate. She and Casterfo bickering in front of her intern and military escort. But Casterfo's priggishness chafed at her, and for all Leia's diplomatic experience, all her years and wisdom, she'd never been good at curbing her temper. Casterfo obviously wasn't entirely sure what to do with her reference to Han. Would he insult her husband, a war hero and a racing legend? Or would he back down? Neither, as it turned out. Instead, he went straight for insulting the Rebellion itself.
"Getting your hands dirty. An interesting euphemism. I appreciate your candor, Senator Organa. Very few former rebels are willing to admit that their movement wasn't as high-minded and noble as people now like to claim."
He ostentatiously straightened the collar of his billowing velvet robe, thin lips set in a smile that clearly said he thought he'd scored a point. Leia felt her temples throb, as if her fury at Casterfo had driven a spike straight into her skull.
"Excuse me?"
He shrugged, his gait never slowing. And by this late at night, this far in the walk, Leia was all too aware that his long, young legs were making this trip more easily than hers. Casterfo continued,
"Don't misunderstand me. Obviously, the Rebellion was right to oppose Palpatine. Something had to be done. But if you ask me, that hardly condones the terrorist tactics of the Rebel Alliance."
"Terrorist tactics?" Casterfo stopped mid-pace. The two of them now stood in the heart of one of the long, dark tunnels, the wind rippling their robes and chilling Leia to the bone. He said,
"Destroying the Death Stars, for a death toll of nearly 1.5 million people, the vast majority of whom were low-level Imperial officers or even civilian workers. The slaughter on Nault after the rebels had left, and the planet was discovered to have housed a secret base. Or what about the rebel assault on Vivona? Or the campaigns of Saul Guerrera's partisans? Can you condone that?"
"We did what had to be done.
Leia's voice shook. We went up against a power so much greater than ours, whose tactics were so much bloodier. Can you imagine what would have happened if the Death Stars had remained operational? What act of terror could be more horrible than what happened to Alderaan? Have you forgotten that? I was there. I saw it happen, stood there watching while they destroyed my world, my home, everyone I had ever loved. By now, Castervo's face had paled. He'd gone too far, and he knew it. But Leia could take no pleasure in seeing Castervo's dismay. The death of Alderaan had never left her, but it had been so long since she'd spoken of it. So very long. A few words, and suddenly she was back there. The sick ozone smell of the Death Star's recirculated air thick in her nostrils. Tarkin's chilly smile as thin as a knife's blade, and clamped around one of her shoulders the armored hand of Darth Vader. Her father. You understand nothing. Leia had to force the words out. Less than nothing. I had not intended to. The destruction of Alderaan was, of course, terrible. I meant... Castervo held out a hand as if to soothe her. If he actually touched her, Leia would not be held responsible for her actions. He didn't, so she lashed back with words instead. You get to daydream about a glorious empire because you grew up in the freedom and safety we bought for you. The price wasn't cheap, Castervo. It was paid in lives and years and suffering and terror, none of which a spoiled brat could possibly comprehend because you've never had to fight for what you really believe in. Castervo held out his arms, incredulous in his anger. Was I just called a spoiled brat by a princess? A princess who lost everything when she was no older than they are now. Leia gestured toward Corey and Joff, who both looked horrified. Undoubtedly, they'd been hoping nobody remembered they remained standing there. In the background, even C-3PO had been rendered speechless. Leia finished. If you'll excuse me, I'd like to head back to the ship on my own before you follow. Nobody dared argue. Leia walked back toward the mirror bright. Although it was visible in the distance, it seemed too far away. She remained focused on it, despite the tightness in her throat and churning in her belly. As she finally walked up the gangway, Greer appeared, one hand at the holster she wore. Her fierce expression faded as she saw Leia's face. Leia couldn't guess what she looked like now, but it couldn't be good.
Princess Leia?
Greer began, but her words halted when Leia held up her hand. Not now, Greer. The words came out more smoothly than Leia had expected. Good. Greer didn't deserve to bear the brunt of anger Ransom Castervo had earned. The others will be along shortly. Greer nodded and leaned back against one of the struts, staring out the opening into the dark tunnels beyond. By pretending to look for the rest of the delegation, she gave Leia a chance to protect her pride by going into her quarters unobserved. Leia felt a moment of deep, fierce affection for the girl, but the feeling drowned quickly. It was lost in the tide of memories of Alderaan. The cloud-shaped falls, with their great billowing spray that seemed like a cloud come to nest on the river. Bail Organa's ringing laugh. The white-winged birds that flew in an X formation, always westward, circling the planet once a year so that different regions marked their seasons by the bird's appearance. A bedroom high in a castle tower, surprisingly simple for a royal residence, where Leia had dreamed and dozed and kept her most beloved possessions in a keepsake chest, in the belief that she could then have them with her forever and ever. As the door to her quarters slid shut behind her, Leia leaned heavily against the wall. She closed her eyes and kept back the tears. It had been a very long time since she'd allowed herself to cry for Alderaan or the people she had lost there. She'd told herself she would never cry about it again. This promise had seen her through many years, but it never got any easier to keep. Greer Sonnel did not miss racing. She didn't. Really. Her diplomatic work challenged her intellect and fulfilled her desire to do something meaningful in the world. Princess Leia was the best boss Greer had ever had.
hot-tempered sometimes, but straightforward and principled, with a sly sense of humor to boot. As frustrating as the Galactic Senate could be, working there did offer the unique satisfaction of knowing you were at the political center of the known universe. It wasn't as though she could have raced forever in any case. She didn't have the wealth to outfit a team of her own, so where else might she have ended up? If she'd saved for her own ship and traveled around the galaxy looking for work, she wouldn't have been able to choose her employers. Bad bosses plus uncertain pay? No thanks. She couldn't see signing up for a standard transport company either. The same half a dozen runs over and over? Even if you did believe in what you were doing, the routine would soon sap all the joy out of flying. And once you took no more joy in flying, you might as well crawl into the peat bog and die to let the soil make something else out of you. But she'd still had so many years in front of her. So many good years taken away. No, she wasn't going to dwell on that. Princess Leia's offer of employment a few years ago had come just when Greer needed it most. She'd adapted to the Senate, become damn good at her job, in fact, and yet she still got to fly from time to time. Even diplomatic runs on the Mirror Bright could offer some variety. And this mission was shaping up to be much more interesting than most.
She actually spoke the words, "spoiled brat"?
Greer took a gulp of her caff as she double-checked the engines first thing the next day. Joff nodded, his thick, floppy blonde hair sliding into his eyes from the motion.
And he threw them right back at her.
Greer pretended to shiver.
So the deep freeze continues.
In Bastatha's deep caverns, morning was more a concept than a reality. She and Joff were working in the same darkness that had enclosed them overnight, each of them doing routine maintenance on their engines, though in a place as lawless as Bastatha, checking for sabotage was also a good idea. The Mirror Bright checked out. But Greer lingered, mostly for the chance to check out Joff's X-Wing. Back when she'd had a starfighter of her own, she'd babied it until it shone, even down in the deepest recesses of its engines. Her comlink buzzed.
Greer?
Princess Leia, can we help you?
Greer glanced at Joff, who was leaning closer already.
Briefing in 5.
Yes, ma'am,
Greer said with a smile. Oh, this was no routine run. Sometime later, as Greer sat in one of the chairs in the Mirror Bright's main area, the briefing seemed about to wrap up until Ransom Casterfo walked in. Unsurprisingly, he already wore his fine cloak, though by now it had begun to look rather crumpled.
Does he sleep in it?
Greer wondered idly. Casterfo looked from person to person.
Is this a meeting?
Why, Senator Casterfo, we are currently discussing an invitation just received by the princess.
C-3PO, always glad to be of service, shuffled closer to Casterfo.
Several business leaders on Bastatha have invited her to a private conference.
I was invited as well,
Casterfo interjected, alarm clear on his face.
But I had no thought of accepting. Surely, Senator Organa.
I've said yes. Princess Leia poured herself more caff with studied nonchalance. Greer thought that anyone who didn't know the princess very well would actually think she didn't care. Don't worry, you needn't accompany me.
How can you even consider it?
Casterfo stepped into the middle of the small gathering. Maybe he was compensating for being excluded by now making it impossible for them to ignore him.
Such an invitation is highly irregular. Business leaders? Need I remind you the nature of the business conducted on Bastatha? Most of it is distasteful at best, criminal at worst. They even asked for us to bring only one escort. Suspicious, don't you think? If there is any truth to Emissary Yendor's allegations, and this Rin Riven Dai figure has a cartel based on this planet, then there's even potential for violence.
I don't think they'll attack a senatorial delegation. Princess Leia didn't meet Casterfo's eyes. He might as well have been a piece of furniture in the room.
Ouch,
Greer thought. She didn't like the guy much better than the princess did, but she couldn't help pitying anyone who'd basically just been buried neck deep in ice.
You don't think. And on this basis, you'll march out into mortal danger.
Casterfo gestured skyward, then sighed.
I take it nothing I say will make any difference. Why should you start listening to me now?
The princess shrugged. As I said, you can stay here, safe and sound. Casterfo pulled himself back together with a sniff.
I shall take no responsibility for your safety.
That's fine. Anything else? Princess Leia took another sip. By now, the tension in the room had risen so sharply that Greer's own calf seemed to churn in her belly. Kor stared at her feet, and C-3PO's upper body rotated from senator to senator in apparent confusion.
Good luck, Casterfo said. You'll need it.
With that, he stalked back toward his quarters. The silence that followed endured until Corey finally ventured.
It's not as though he's wrong.
Greer and Joff exchanged a look. Would Princess Leia blow up at that? Would she acknowledge that Corey, like Casterfo, actually had a point? She did neither. The princess continued staring at the corridor down which Casterfo had vanished as she said, He's the type they liked to recruit. The Empire, I mean. Casterfo is just the sort of person they promoted in their ranks. Privileged and proper and self-important. Nobody spoke. Greer figured the others, like her, had no idea what to say.
I can just see him in an Imperial uniform, Princess Leia continued. And I think that's how he likes to see himself.
Surely not.
C-3PO sounded as indefatigably cheerful as ever.
Why, who would ever want to imagine being a part of the Empire?
Leia's dark eyes continued to stare past the rest of them, toward a horizon only she could see. Many people would. Far too many. When the businessmen arrived, yellow-green Nyctos with lowered heads and beady eyes, flanking Magistrate Tosta on either side, Leia strode from the mirror bright to meet them, a heavy silver necklace around her neck, only a small part of the finery she'd donned for the occasion. The pale silvery gown she wore, with its high collar and deeply belled sleeves, was formal enough for the Senate chamber, and she was even now tugging on her finest cloak. It was a touch they would take note of, and satisfaction in.
Is the honored senator our only guest today?
One of the Nyctos gestured toward the ship.
We received Senator Casterfo's regrets, but your guard will join us surely?
No security. Leia smiled with all the warmth she could muster. This is a diplomatic mission, one of the greatest importance to us both. If I didn't trust the people of Bastatha, I wouldn't have come here in the first place. The Nyctos' wide smiles told her how much they liked her answer.
Join us, Senator Organa. We have so much to show you.
They escorted her to a sort of speeder, one with a wide, variably powered base that allowed it to hover far above uneven surfaces. The transparent semi-enclosure at the top gave Leia a fine view of the caverns, particularly as they headed deeper within the world, farther away from the gauzy casino complexes. Here she saw small outcroppings that had been turned into residence buildings, perhaps to house the Nyctos and their employees. Unlike the elegant structures above, these residences seemed almost as if they were hidden, tucked away in darkness, closed in tight. Anyone who worked here would feel that the rest of the galaxy was far away. Whoever held power on Bastatha would appear to be the only source of authority in the world. Leia shivered as she brought her hands together, so they would be covered and warmed by her wide sleeves. Although she strongly agreed with most aspects of populist philosophy, she couldn't deny that her party's approach had its own flaws. One of them was that planets similar to Bastatha, without much independent power or a strong economy, tended to get left behind. We alone manage our own affairs, populist worlds said. The corollary to this was, we manage only our own affairs. When each planet was focused only on its own best interests, problems on other worlds were ignored. Failing to help those in need was bad enough for a government that claimed to represent and protect everyone. But even those too short-sighted to understand that ought to realize that one world's difficulties often spread off-planet and magnified exponentially. One world's epidemic could become a system-wide pandemic. One world's dissident faction could turn into interplanetary terrorism. The real kind, she thought sourly, barely able to restrain her scorn at the thought of Ransom Casterfo's ignorance. And one world's criminal mastermind could turn into a cartel boss capable of warping economic and political power among dozens of systems, just as the Hutts had not so long ago. Leia startled at a flash of movement in the corner of her eye. She turned to see a hover sled weaving up toward them, piloted by a single Nikto, one who'd aimed his blaster directly at her driver. Magistrate Tosta whispered something in his own language, sibilant and low. Leia turned toward him to see another two hover sleds pulling up alongside. One of the pilots gestured to someone behind them, no doubt covering them from behind. The firepower these Nikto had in their hands and holsters was enough to blow them all away 10 times over.
"I apologize, Princess Leia,"
said Tosta, doing his best to sound genuinely sorry. There was no need. They both knew he'd set her up.
"We appear to be surrounded."